Breakfast Club.
Genuinely worried about Anna Romanescu's tomorrow. He's so excited about what's going to take place at the races. All these numbers.
Yes.
Will he have any money left by race three?
Oh, no, of course not. ATM.
Well, you made a very good investment yesterday.
Yeah, best bets.
Best bets.
Absolutely.
We'll be right.
I'll spend 8 hours today on that.
We have a special guest in our studio. Former Australian fast bowler. All-rounder.
Leading commentator.
Absolutely. Fox Sports star. John Hastings, welcome.
Morning. How are we?
Hastings. Duck to water in the commentary box. Can I just say that off the top?
Say whatever
Thanks,
you like.
Scotty. Cheers, mate.
Sensational.
No, it's been great. It's been very, very good to cover the JLT, that's for sure. There's a lot of good young cricketers coming out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later because I think you've been a bit surprised by how many good young cricketers that have emerged, and you've been there pretty much at every match. But we just heard a bit of a dusty Bradwell Willer this morning. He was up till 20 past 12 watching the cricket right to the end. I know you did as well. What were your thoughts, and how do you feel about the Australian cricket team now when you see what they did?
Well, Bradwell Willer's a massive cricket fan, first of all. He's come in under the rooms in a couple of games that I've played out at the MCG for the Aussies, so he absolutely loves it. Good on him for staying up. But look, I must admit, I dozed off to sleep, and I think it was Peter Siddle's LBW shout that woke me up.
What had you missed? How many wickets?
Watched it up, so I think I was 5 down, and then it was 7 down when I woke up, or something like that. So I thought, oh, what is going on here? And then I looked how long was going. I was in a bit of a daze, but look, to get a draw out of that game was absolutely magnificent. I think they made some mistakes in the first dig. And what it looked like to me was they've really gone away and focused on what they needed to do to bat in those conditions. They've tightened up their defence, a lot of sweeps, a lot of footwork, sharpish footwork. So I think when you come out and start your innings in the UAE, it's so hard. You need to really try and be there for 20 or 30 balls and just really get the feel of the pitch, the conditions. And I think in the second innings they really did that, and it was very, very good. It was one of the big steps in trying to get the Australian public back on side. So, very big tick from me.
And we mentioned earlier about how poignant it was that it's Langer's first test as coach. That had Langer written all over it, didn't it?
Oh, it did. And that's exactly the way he played his cricket. That's what he wants out of his charges. He has made no secret of the fact he talks about fitness. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why Usman Khawaja was able to spend over 30 hours out on that field was because he's, you know, dropped 7 kilos. He's extremely fit. It just had Justin Langer written all over it, didn't it? That's exactly what we're going to expect from him.
And the other one for Tim Payne, like, I had a crack at him, which I'm trying to erase after the first innings. Oh, captain's got to stand up. This is the time. And then he does what he did.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that he's one of the toughest guys going around as well. He's had question marks over his batting for a long period of time, but I just think he wanted it so much last night. You could just tell it's his team. It's his first actual, you know, in charge of the tour, and he's good. He's got a really solid defence. He actually plays spin quite well. He uses his feet really well. He gets really deep in his crease. It was just a really, really strong effort from the boys, and that's exactly what we need moving forward.
So we debated this a little bit earlier. Finch and Khawaja at the top of the order. Does Renshaw come back in for the second test, or do they just keep as is now?
I think because it is so hard to master the batting over in the subcontinent, I think they should stick with Khawaja and Finch at the top. If they want to bring Matt Renshaw in, then he can come in and bat three. There's no issues there. He plays spin really well as well, so he would be a big addition to the team, I think. Marnus looked very nervous on debut, didn't he? He got a wicket. We know what he brings in the field, catches and runouts, but I would bring Renshaw back in, bat him three, and just slide everyone down one. I think that would strengthen us greatly. Matty Renshaw's almost like a Matty Hayden type. He sweeps really hard. And I think the sweep over there we saw, if you're hitting it hard and playing it with confidence, it really is a big weapon over there.
How happy were you for Aaron Finch to get firstly to get the test match, but secondly to get runs?
Yeah, well, I think if you're in the inner circle in cricket, you knew that he could do something like that. Just the kind of bloke he is. I think he's really matured. And I played a lot of cricket with Aaron, and you could really see him. The focus in his face, he intensified. I think he's matured, not just as a cricketer, but as a person over the last few years. He's married now. He's just come on leaps and bounds. He's got a leadership role within the Australian cricket team. He's captain of the T20 team. So for me, I had no doubt that he'd be able to do that. But you know, he's had his troubles with LBWs over the year. I think he's 29% of dismissals in first-class cricket are LBW. So in those conditions, I thought that it would have been tough for him, but he's played very, very well.
Just one final one on Tim Payne, because I think, to me, that's the most significant part. I mean, what Usman did was amazing. If we get time a little bit later on, we might talk more about him and as a cricketer, because we were talking earlier about sort of he's almost a malign cricketer. Yeah. But with Tim Payne, the significance, and for you that is still a cricketer of high regard, how significant is it that he is able to do that and to be captain when he's taken it over under unusual circumstances? He got the gloves under unusual circumstances, but almost a validation moment.
Yeah, that was huge for him. I think he would be very, very proud walking off that ground last night and sitting in the rooms having a beer after the game and just thinking, you know, that's exactly what I'm about. That's exactly what he wants for the Australian cricket team moving forward. I think there's no doubt about his leadership, the way he's carried himself. I think it's I think it's a big respect thing. They really played with a lot of respect in this game, and that's led by him. You know, and for him to not have contributed with the bat as much as he would have liked, to go out there and face over 190 balls and really put himself in the firing line for the team, I think it's just a massive pat on the back, and it's exactly what we need moving forward. So hopefully, look, don't get too carried away, because it's going to be a very big test in Abu Dhabi. It spins a lot sharper. It was quite slow turn in Dubai. That's why I think that the pitch held together a lot better than I thought it certainly would. But Abu Dhabi tends to spin a lot sharper, so it's going to be a really big test again next game.
So in the dressing rooms, when he's got players around him that have all played, you know, international cricket, does the respect go up for him based on what he did there? As like, hey, you know, geez, this guy's pretty impressive. Or would they expect, not that he would bat as long as he did, but that's what I'd expect from Tim Payne. So would the mood in the dressing room change on that performance?
It'd be a little bit of both, I think. I think it'd be a huge step moving forward for the rest of the team as well, going, oh, right, our leader's actually standing up here and we know that he's backing up his words, basically. So that'll lift the rest of the guys. I think that would respect, there's a massive mutual respect in the group anyway, but that would definitely go up in everyone else's estimations for sure.
Yeah, interesting. All right, yourself. Now, you are meant to be playing cricket this year for the Sydney Sixers. Now, we were all a little bit flat about the fact that you've gone from the Melbourne Stars to the Sydney Sixers, back to almost like a State of Origin type of situation.
Traitor.
You're supposed to be playing for the Sydney Sixers.
Yep.
Are you going to be playing for the Sydney Sixers?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something that over the last probably 3 or 4 months has been a really difficult period for me. I've gone through a bit of a stage where I've been having these, well, it's a bit of a health issue, I guess. It's basically every time that I've sort of been trying to gear up and get ready to bowl, I've been coughing up blood. So basically gone through an extensive amount of testing, had some operations, bronchoscopes, all this sort of thing, angiogram, stress tests, everything to try and find out what the problem is. And they can't, what's happened is basically I won't be bowling, able to bowl this year or probably moving forward unless this sort of situation gets sorted out. And it's just something that they can't say, look, you're not going to have a fatal bleed on the field, or you know, it's not going to cause long-term damage. So it's pretty shattering. It's something that you just, I've come to terms with it now, but, you know, over the last sort of 4 or 5 months, it's been a very, very tough period. It's something that, you know, I've played this game my whole life and I wanted to keep playing it. I wanted to play tournaments all around the world. That's one of the reasons why I retired early from one-day and four-day cricket. But to see it maybe slipping away, it's pretty tough to take. And, you know, at this stage, unless something miraculous happens, I won't be able to bowl. It's literally just bowling. It's not running. I can do boxing, weight sessions, rowing, anything like that. But as soon as the pressure at the crease of match intensity, when I step it up, I just burst blood vessels in my lungs and it, you know, walk back to my mark and, yeah, cough up some blood. So it's pretty scary. But they can't tell me for sure that it's not going to cause long-term damage, or so that, you know, there's a lot of grey area surrounding it. But yeah, it's not a very nice thing to have happen at the moment.
So is this a new thing, or is this something that has progressively got worse over a period of time?
Yeah, it's something that's sort of progressively gotten worse.
So when did it first happen?
Oh, a few years ago, I sort of had little episodes, maybe once a season, for a year or two. I didn't really think anything of it. Taken a lot of anti-inflammatories over my time, so I just thought, you know, I might have had an upset stomach or something like that. But over the last 4 or 5 months, it's just progressively gotten worse, and it's gotten down to every time I'm bowling now, it's happening. So it's gotten to a point where it's pretty scary to have that sort of thing happen. So yeah, it's something. Look, I mean, I feel really sorry for the Sydney Sixers as well, because and Jody Hawkins up there has been absolutely fantastic in helping me out and guiding me through the process. But I just feel sorry for them. I don't really know anyone in that environment apart from growing up in New South Wales as a kid. But yeah, I mean, they've been awesome. But I just feel sorry for them because they signed me fit, firing, ready to go. And this problem's just, yeah, it's just started, sort of popped out of nowhere.
So you went to the doctor and you said, look, this is what's happening. You sort of go about the top of the mark, cough up a bit of blood, wipe it away. Can you help me? I mean, it's not like you'd done a hamstring or anything like that. And that's how the conversation started, and it progressively has got worse.
Yeah, that's exactly how it started. It was literally just gone in. Piers Canty at the Ethworth did an amazing job trying to help me through the process as well. It's just, yeah, I mean, it's such a strange thing.
And hasn't been diagnosed as anything particular. It's just
this is what's happening. But it's just the uncertainty around not knowing whether any long-term damage could be, you know, a side effect, I guess, or, you know, fatally bleeding on the field. So I suppose it's a bit like a racehorse. When they bleed, I suppose they can't talk, can they? So you don't really know what's going on with them. But yeah, and there's all sorts of tests that they wanted to do that were quite invasive, and I wasn't overly comfortable with some of them. Well, there was only two, really. There was three options: was stop bowling, and there was a couple of other ones that were, I won't go into. But it was just such a strange situation.
So how do you feel yourself? I mean, you talked about you feel like you've let the Sydney Sixers down, but as you said, you stopped playing first-class cricket to try and look after your body, to give yourself a chance to play for 2, 3, 4, 5 years on the international T20 scene, where you're not making your superannuation as such, but this is a chance to set up your family for the rest of your life. How tough's it been for you?
Yeah, it has. It's been really tough. A lot of mates have been around. My wife's been enormous. My management team's been exceptionally good. Tony Box and Jared Sholley have been very, very good. Just trying to figure out a solution, you know, and just trying to work through the process. It is what it is. But unfortunately, you know, to have something slip away that you've worked so hard for over your entire life, it was pretty hard to take.
And you've been not necessarily hiding this, but it's been a bit of a secret now for a while that only very few people have known about. So we really appreciate you sharing this with us today. But you're going to have teammates, former teammates, potentially listening to this, having no idea that this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, I've tried to sort of keep it pretty under wraps. I'm a pretty honest bloke, and like I hate sort of trying to hide things from people. So apologies to everyone over the last sort of couple of months who I've said I'm really looking forward to Big Bash. But it's been pretty tough. But yeah, the important thing is I've been cleared of anything massively sinister. So, you know, I'm healthy, I'm okay. I can't bowl for the next, you know, foreseeable future. So until I get, yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, trying to find answers, but unfortunately at the moment it's not looking good.
You're still going to wield the willow in great cricket and keep ticking over?
I don't know. I'll probably have to find a job soon. So
No, don't do that. Don't go into the real world.
Yeah, I'll probably have to. I mean, that's something that, you know, I can still bat, still field, and still have a leadership role sort of somewhere. So that's something that I'm sort of weighing up, and I'll have a bit more in-depth think about it. The last 3 weeks, dipping my toe into the commentary scene's been fantastic. Right. I've really, really enjoyed that. So we'll see how that goes. And there's still a lot of things that I need to try and, you know, sort out from that sort of side of things as well.
Extraordinary, extraordinary news coming through this morning with John Hastings. Hastings is going to stay with us right through to late 30. We'll try and lighten the mood now and have a bit of a chat about tennis with Todd Woodbridge next. We've got a little bit of cricket with Meg Lanning and also, well, whatever else you want to talk about. You can even give us a call on 1300 652 927. It's a Friday edition of the RSN Breakfast Club at 7 to 8.